Thursday, January 18th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. You know, we talk sports every weekday, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. Hopefully, we can interject some sarcasm into your everyday life. You know, we are happy to have you with us here today. Happy Thursday to you. It's not quite Friday, but we are getting there slowly but surely, plowing through this week. You know, you might not realize this. Not sure if you know this or not, but January 18th is actually Winnie the Pooh Day. Not sure if you knew that or if you care. Not really sure what that has to do with anything. I just thought I would throw that out there though. Winnie the Pooh Day today. So today, as you go through your workday, you know, you're trying to get things done. It's almost Friday, trying to finish out that work week. Just keep in the back of your mind, Winnie the Pooh Day today. Again, no idea why. Hey, I'm just going to throw this out here. Do you know what Winnie the Pooh and Alexander the Great have in common? You might not know that. Like, one is a, you know, beloved Disney character. One is, you know, like one of the biggest rulers of all time in the world. Not sure if you realize what those two have in common. You wouldn't think that they would have all that much, but they do. Middle names are exactly the same. Hey, if you would like to contact the show, we would love to hear from you. You can email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Twitter or Facebook and reach out to us there. Both of those handles are @dailydosesports. Maybe you have a comment. Maybe you don't like my Winnie the Pooh joke. You know, whatever it might be. Got a suggestion. You have some feedback. Maybe you need some advice. We can dole all those things out right here. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to hit us up. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. We have a number of things coming out in the world of sports news that we need to discuss. And as usual, on Thursdays, we have our Daily Dose Overreactions of the Week, where we look at some of the stories being fed to us by the sports media world, and then we usually point and laugh at those stories. I know, it's low-hanging fruit, I understand that, but we get a lot of nonsense thrown at us, and sometimes we just kind of like to throw some of it back. First news story we've got to get to. San Antonio Spurs star forward Kawhi Leonard is going to be out indefinitely as he continues to recover from that quad injury that has sidelined him for most of this NBA season so far. Leonard missed San Antonio's first 27 games this year because of that right quad injury. It's a condition that causes pain, but it also causes weakness in his knee as it goes down the top of that leg. You know, he's a two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year, and he's only played in 9 games this year. And even when he has played, San Antonio has been watching his minutes very closely. Here is the thing that I wonder. Kind of two trains of thought on this. Maybe this injury is turning out to be much worse than they thought it was. Maybe they kind of underestimated how bad this quad injury was. And it's a pretty important muscle, especially for a guy like Kawhi that plays very, very hard at both ends of the floor. It's not like he just coasts at one end and wanders around defensively. And it's not like he doesn't need that quad to push off on almost every single thing he does. Maybe this injury is a little bit worse than what we thought. Or, and I'm just kind of spitballing here, maybe Greg Popovich is saying, hey, look, we're 29-16. We're in third place in the West. We're kind of somewhere in that top five. We can probably get home court advantage at least through a round or two. And if we shut him down now, Kawhi can wait until after the All-Star break before he needs to come back. We can give him a full month off and make sure that he is right. And then bring him back after the All-Star break in February. And maybe, just maybe, we start hitting our stride in spring. Maybe we start hitting our stride about the time the playoffs get here. If there is a sneaky team out there, just lurking, just out there that we're not really paying that much attention to, couldn't you see it being San Antonio? And Kawhi Leonard coming back, getting back to full strength, and all of a sudden they start rolling. Maybe they sneak up on a team. Maybe they could even be the kind of team that would challenge the Golden State Warriors. Not saying for sure that they can, but maybe that is what Popovich's plan is all along. You know, the Indianapolis Colts are saying, the report is out there, that they have agreed in principle to hire New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. But, of course, it won't be official for a while until he's done with his job with the Patriots. You know, apparently, Houston Texans defensive coordinator Mike Vrabel is still in the running. But is he really? Because, I mean, he's available. Like, if you wanted to go get Mike Vrabel, you could sign Mike Vrabel. Like, he's been available since week 16 ended. And really, if you think about the Texans this season, he's been available since Deshaun Watson went out injured. And they still haven't hired him yet, which tells me they are holding out for Josh McDaniels. Now, there are rumors that Josh McDaniels could still end up with Tennessee. You know, he has ties to their general manager. Hey, I know that people are going to bring up that McDaniels failed in his first go-round with Denver. I actually don't hold that initial run against him. If he learned from it, there were some things that I think he did really, really wrong during his time in Denver. I don't hate McDaniels like I know a lot of Bronco fans do. I actually saw a little bit of method to his madness in some of the things he did while he was here. But if he learned from that initial experience, a second-time head coach sometimes does end up being pretty good. And I think McDaniels has a chance. If he gets in the right situation, he has some good people around him, and he has some experienced coordinators underneath him. I could see him having success. We'll see if he ends up signing with Indy. It sure sounds like they are counting on him to sign with them. Speaking of coaching situations around the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers are apparently not going to renew offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Yeah, that was reported yesterday. Haley's contract is expiring, and they're not going to get him a new contract to remain in Pittsburgh. You know, it's not a big surprise. There has been increasing talk that Todd Haley just wasn't seeing eye to eye with quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, and that head coach Mike Tomlin was ready to move on from Haley. Haley is kind of an abrasive guy, right? We've seen him every stop he's ever had. Doesn't always play well with others. But, you know, I do expect to hear in the next few days Ben Roethlisberger saying how he really enjoyed working with Haley. It's going to be an adjustment without him. You know, we did a lot of good things with him. Did a lot of great things with Todd Haley. Gonna really miss him. Which we know is a total lie, right? He hated Todd Haley's guts. Every chance Ben Roethlisberger had, he threw Todd Haley directly under the bus. I mean, think back. After the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, Ben dropped, he actually isn't able to check to a quarterback sneak. I doubt that's even true. Like, I did that in high school. You just went up, kind of flicked the center on the butt, took the snap, and just dove forward. So I don't even buy that. But it's not the first time that Big Ben has thrown Haley under the bus. Because remember, he did it after the Patriots lost too. Remember after that game? And he said, well, Todd Haley called that ill-conceived fake spike play, and I couldn't change it. I mean, he called it. What did I do? I couldn't change it. Okay, well, maybe you can't change it. I don't know. But is the read there for you to throw late over the middle into a big crowd? I don't think that was the call, was it? You're going to just let Haley flap in the wind for that one, though, aren't you? You know, here's the craziest part of the Steelers not re-signing Todd Haley. I know that when we hear Todd Haley is out, you probably heard that and you just said, well, yeah, of course. No surprise there, right? No one is shocked at this in the least bit. Here is what is funny, though. And I'm not a Todd Haley guy. I'm just an observer. Think about this for 1 second. The Pittsburgh Steelers looked at their current situation and said, okay, we need to get a new offensive coordinator. We lost in the playoffs. We lost earlier than we expected. We had Super Bowl aspirations this year. We need a new offensive coordinator. We need to replace Todd Haley. In the game that ended our season, we scored 6 touchdowns. We scored 42 points. We racked up nearly 600 yards of offense. We clearly need a new offensive coordinator. We allowed 45 points to Blake Bortles. We need a new offensive coordinator. Like, are you following this? I'm not sure I follow your logic. I'm not saying you're wrong. Maybe you do need a new offensive coordinator. I'm just saying I'm having a little bit of a hard time following your rationale. You just put up huge, huge numbers. Your defense was horrible, and you're getting a new offensive coordinator. What am I not understanding? Sometimes I'm not able to keep up with these guys. I know they're on a different plane. They're so much smarter than I am. I'm just dumb. I understand all that. I just sometimes have a hard time keeping up with some of these brilliant minds out there, the delicate genius that is out there. Hey, coming back, speaking of delicate genius, the Baseball Hall of Fame vote is coming up later this month in January. And you know, there are a number of people that aren't quite sure who they could or should vote for. And you just know that we have a solution to this problem. Little more news out there. The Florida Atlantic football program has hired 24-year-old Charlie Weiss Jr. to be their new offensive coordinator. That's what Florida Atlantic football coach Lane Kiffin confirmed on Wednesday. Now, I don't know Charlie West Jr. I have no idea. I know that he has been an offensive assistant with the Atlanta Falcons. I know that he worked with Lane Kiffin at Alabama a little bit. I don't know him other than that, though. But I do know Junior's dad, Charlie. And that man had an ego bigger than his lap band. If this kid is anything like the old man, Florida Atlantic is going to be in for a real treat with both him and Kiffin trying to run the place like a couple of young kings, just making crazy demands wherever they go. Like, Kiffin is already kind of crazy, right? Like, he's already, you know, he's tweeting and he's taking shots at Nick Saban. And he just kind of says and does whatever he thinks. Now imagine a younger, I'm just guessing, more arrogant Charlie Weiss. Maybe not quite the same belt size, but you know what I'm saying. Kind of that same kind of mentality, just arrogant as he can be. Just telling everybody what's what. Making demands. Here's what's expected from all of you to give me. I don't know. Florida Atlantic is going to be a lot of fun to watch over the next few years. Okay. The Baseball Hall of Fame vote is coming later this month. And once again, we're going to be hearing about how Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire and all these guys have a place in the Hall of Fame. And hey, they have undeniable numbers. They also have undeniable steroid records. We know that a number of these guys have that cloud of steroids, not just kind of over them, totally smothering them. We know they did it. We know they did it. And here's the thing. What kind of example does it set for kids? Hey, cheat and prosper. That's how you do it. What kind of example does it show to the guys who did do it the right way? How are these guys going to be in the same building as someone like Willie Mays and someone like Hank Aaron? Like, that doesn't sit well with a lot of people. It doesn't sit well with baseball people that look at the steroid era and say, that needs to be thrown out. We need to get rid of that. So here's the question. Should these guys get into the Hall of Fame? What do you do with them? I mean, Barry Bonds was a great player before the steroids made his head swell to the size of his ego, right? Shouldn't he get in? But the anti-steroid people are adamant against it. And you know, the other side is that these guys are great players that played in a really weird era. Everyone was juicing. These guys still excelled at the game. Like, they still won the game. Of all the cheaters, they were really, really good cheaters. You can't just whitewash it all and pretend it didn't happen. So what should Hall of Fame voters do? Well, as usual, folks, here at the Daily Dose, we're not just in the business of maybe writing articles or maybe doing podcasts. We're in the business of helping people. And of course, we have the answer. Now, remember my criteria for getting into any Hall of Fame. I don't care what Hall of Fame it is. I care if it's college football, pro basketball, pro baseball, whatever it might be. Here is the criteria for getting into any Hall of Fame. Can we tell the story of that sport or whatever it might be without you? Can we tell the story of baseball without Barry Bonds, without Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Roger Clemens, a number of these guys that are out there associated very, very closely with steroids? It is absolutely impossible to tell the story of baseball without these guys. There is a full era there of steroid guys. There is a full era there where people were infatuated with baseball, but it was because of the steroid guys. Like, I remember people being glued to their television sets wanting to see, is Mark McGwire going to hit the home run? Is Sammy Sosa going to hit the home run? Is Barry Bonds going to, well, get his hat over that big giant head, but also hit the home run? Hey, Bonds was the first player in baseball history with 400 home runs and 400 stolen bases. Sammy Sosa had 699 home runs, and yes, I realize he was swinging a bat that was probably packed with like styrofoam and lead, but he still hit them. Roger Clemens, he might be one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and yes, he wasn't quite as good, and then all of a sudden he got really, really good, and I'm not exactly sure what happened there. I kind of have my suspicions, but what do we do with these guys? What do we do with this steroid era? I have the solution. And when you first hear the solution, you might say it sounds preposterous, but it isn't. It's really not that preposterous. It's actually going to work. Let me lay this out for you. Okay, you might not be old enough to remember this, but let me kind of walk you through it, okay? Do you remember video rental stores? Not sure if you remember that. Back in the day, there used to be video rental stores. They were very, very popular. You would go to these stores, you would pick out like a movie for your VCR, or later a DVD. I don't know, maybe you had Laserdisc or whatever it might be. You went and you picked out a video, you went and you picked out a movie to watch, and I think they even had video games and stuff like that for a while. You would rent this for a night, or you could rent it for like the weekend, or however long you wanted to get it, right? You had the big chains, you had like Blockbuster or whatever, but you also had the mom and pop shops, and they had movie rentals. Like you could just go down the street, video rental, you go in, they had a whole section of movies, all the new releases, whatever it was. You went through, you picked out what movie you wanted, you rented it, you checked it out. Hopefully you were smart enough to rewind it or whatever. And then you brought it back and you know, did all that. Those were really, really big in the 80s and early 90s. Now, in the mom and pop stores, I'm not talking about the Blockbusters, I'm not talking about the big ones, the big chains. Now, in these mom and pop shops, they would have a different section of movies. It was like in a smaller room off in the back. It was kind of on the side. It was kind of dark. Maybe had some smoke coming out of it, whatever it might have been. It usually had a sign over the door that said, "Caution, no one under 18 years of age admitted." And this was where you rented the movies that were kind of adult in nature, right? And it was kind of a mysterious, scary place. You weren't sure if you ever wanted to venture into. You kind of peeked into the room to see if you got a glance at anything good. And there wasn't like a door. Like some of the places had like the French doors that just swung, but most of the places, they had like that curtain of beads that you had to walk through. So not only did you have to be brave enough to walk back into the adult movie room and risk the humiliation of getting called out as a pervert or seeing someone you knew or something like that, you also had to make the noise of those clacking beads as you walked in this stupid curtain of beads into the room. Okay, so here's my idea how to fix the Baseball Hall of Fame. Just throwing this out there. We take a small room in the Baseball Hall of Fame. We make it a little bit darker. Got some darker lights in there. It's got some smoke in there. It's got some old disco music kind of playing in there. Yeah, something like that. The doorway is open, but it has that beaded curtain over it. And the sign out front says, "Caution, this room contains steroid users. Enter at your own risk." Hey, we can't act like the steroid era didn't happen. Why do we keep doing that? Just put them in a different section. Just put them in a section that you're a little bit embarrassed to go into. So they don't get a full plaque. They don't get the full room. They don't get the big bronze bust. But we kind of put them back in this little side room with the beaded curtain. And they get like a VHS movie cover for their plaque. And you flip it over and you can see their stats and what kind of drugs they use and how often they use. And look at a kind of a chart and see how much better they got using the drugs and all those kind of things. We can give them the whole thing. And anyone who wants to go look at the steroid era can go right in and take a look at the steroid era. And sure, you might feel a little dirty when you leave, but that's all part of the experience, isn't it? I mean, that's how the steroid era made all of us feel. So isn't that kind of the perfect solution to have them just do that in the Hall of Fame now? And then we don't have to talk about who gets in and who doesn't. Yes, you used. We know you used. We have it on pretty good authority that you used. You're just gonna go in the steroid room. Makes it a whole lot easier. Hey, coming back, we will have our weekly Daily Dose segment. That's right, the best overreactions from the sports media world, and we had a bunch of them this week. Just a quick reminder that Valentine's Day is coming, and you might want to go do any of that shopping you need to do over at lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all of the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. January's Loot Crate theme, it's called Discover, and it features items from Rick and Morty, X-Files, Harry Potter, and Westworld. You know you need something for Valentine's Day. You know you're going to get chewed out if you don't get something for Valentine's Day. Loot Crate just might have the perfect present for you to get that special someone on Valentine's Day. Best part about ordering, when you check out, just type Daily Dose in the coupon box, DALYDOSE. We will get you 10% off of your order. And you don't have to tell your Valentine that. Like, that's the part you can keep to yourself. You don't have to let them know that. But you can get a little bit cheaper of a Valentine than you really wanted to spend, because Valentine's Day is all kind of dumb anyways, right? Okay, we've got to get to our Thursday overreactions of the week. You know, every single week, we like to take just a quick look around the sports world and see what overreactions the sports media world might be jamming down our throat. And sometimes we hear these overreactions and we just say something very simple like this.
That was an overreaction.
Got a few of them. First overreaction we have is that general manager Tom Coughlin has really changed things down in Jacksonville. You know, before Tom Coughlin went back to the Jaguars, they were terrible. Now he's been there, what, just a few short months, and he has turned Jacksonville around. Has he, though? I mean, did any of this have anything to do with Tom Coughlin? Or has he just been sitting in his office falling asleep at his desk? Do you think that just maybe all those top draft picks they've been racking up for the last 15 years had something more to do with it than Tom Coughlin did? Because I'm looking at the team, and I'm like, okay, show me the Tom Coughlin guy. Like, where is the Tom Coughlin guy that he got? Like, where are his draft picks and his free agent signings? Oh, none of them? They were already there? Okay, good job, Tom. Maybe we should just keep telling Tom that. Like, he's an older guy. Like, make him feel good. Hey, Tom, you really turned this thing around. I don't know what you did. He has no idea. He's just nodding off at his desk. Yeah, I don't think Tom Coughlin had anything to do with it. We'll see what he does this next spring in the draft and in free agency and all that. He doesn't have anything to do with this. I know it's a lovely story to say he went back there and fixed everything. Yeah, it might be all those first-round draft picks they've been getting for the last 15 years. Another overreaction we've been getting is that the Pittsburgh Steelers just overlooked the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday in their AFC divisional playoff game. They were getting ready for the Patriots, and as a result, they kind of overlooked Jacksonville, and Jacksonville snuck up and got them. Yeah, I'm not buying that. Because here's my question if that's the case. What was Pittsburgh's excuse back in Week 5 when they got pounded by the Jaguars then? Were they looking forward to the Chiefs in Week 6 too? Because both games kind of went the same way. I mean, Jacksonville ran the ball down their throat. They couldn't do anything about it. They played keep away. And Pittsburgh couldn't stop them when they absolutely had to. That's exactly what happened back in Week 5. Were they overlooking them then? If so, I mean, who didn't they overlook? They just overlooked everyone on their whole schedule. Or does it maybe make more sense that this Pittsburgh Steelers team is kind of a lot of egos and kind of a lot of guys pulling in different directions, and they kind of need a head coach to come in and straighten things out and say, hey, we've got some coordinators here that aren't getting their job done. We have a lot of talent in this locker room, but it doesn't seem like we have one common purpose. It seems like we need to straighten some things out. Maybe that's what they needed, not so much that they were overlooking anyone. That makes more sense to me. You know, one of the things I've been hearing this week is a lot of people in the sports media world really feel bad for the New Orleans Saints. Hey, they had the game won, they had it locked up, they make a mistake, and all of a sudden they lose the game. I'm not hating on the New Orleans Saints, but you kind of did that one to yourselves, didn't you? I mean, if you look at the play, they're kind of out of position. They're playing really, really wide. They don't have as many people deep. How does anyone get behind you in that situation? Like, whatever happens, I might have to tackle you at the 5-yard line. You're not getting behind me. Yeah, Saints kind of got what they deserve. And here's another thing. Did you see Sean Payton after they had scored and kicked the field goal? And he's kind of riling up the crowd and yelling at the crowd and yelling boom at the crowd. I mean, I don't hate on the Saints, but I don't really feel that bad for you. You made a mistake, you paid for it. Good luck with all that. Maybe I feel a little bad for Drew Brees. He played pretty well in the second half, but at the same time, where were you in the first half? No, I don't really feel bad for the Saints. Okay, I know we're not supposed to talk about them, and I promise you I'll keep it quick, but I do keep hearing in the sports media world that LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball are putting up some big points in Lithuania. People are starting to take notice of the numbers that they're putting up. This past weekend, they combined for 60 points in a win back in Lithuania. Now the media is discussing, hey, what's their next move going to be? Where are they going to go next? They're not going to go anywhere, because if they go anywhere else, everyone's going to see that they're not really that good. They're playing in like a Lithuanian rec league. I mean, you can put up 90 points if you want. I don't care. They're not playing in like a competitive professional league. It'd be like going to your local rec league and playing in like the adult men's league. Hey, you're really lighting it up. Okay. You know, I remember one time playing in a church league, and there was a guy playing against us in a church league, and he was kind of strutting around and acting like, hey, you know, he was kind of the big dog, and I remember just telling him, hey, if you were that good, you wouldn't be playing here. It's kind of the same thing. Okay, enough ball talk. We're not talking about them.
Phrasing?
Another thing that we're hearing in the sports media world this week is that the NBA needs to come down hard on all of the fights that have been happening in that league lately. Did you see those fights? I mean, you had Clippers versus Rockets. We've seen it with the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors. Orlando and Minnesota got into it the other night. Apparently, The other night, the Rockets were knocking on the Clippers locker room door trying to fight Austin Rivers. This stuff has to be stopped, right? I'm not sure about that. First off, no one ever really gets hurt in NBA fights. Okay. No one besides Rudy Tomjanovich ever gets hurt in NBA fights. Okay, fine. There was like one time. But for the most part, in NBA fights, they slap at each other a lot and they yell a lot of, hold me back, a lot of that kind of stuff. But there's never really like a good fight. Second, you know, if anyone ever wants to fight Austin Rivers, not only should it not be stopped, it should be encouraged. So I have no problem with that. The other night, he's yapping from the bench. Austin Rivers shouldn't be allowed to talk to anyone ever. You can't talk when you're only in the league because of dad and you never actually do anything in an actual game. And, you know, here's the bottom line. If the Rockets were playing the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs, would you be watching it? Oh, I'd be watching it. Of course you would. I would be watching every second of that. And then, did you hear Chris Paul after the game saying this is Lou Williams' team? That's a direct shot at Blake Griffin. You know, I get sick sometimes of the Lev Fest that does go on between players these days. Like, I understand it. A lot of these guys played in AAU together. Some of them went to college together. They've grown up playing against each other or with each other. Whatever. Understand this. Back in the day, you weren't boys. Like, you wanted to beat the other team. We've kind of lost some of that. Do you think Magic was going to dinner with Kevin McHale and James Worthy was riding the banana boat with Larry Bird? No, and I'm okay with that. These guys don't all have to be friends. And if they want to fight a little bit and slap at each other and yell, hold me back, go ahead, let them fight. Think of some of the best rivalries in NBA history. Lakers versus Celtics, Bulls versus Pistons, Knicks versus Sixers. Like, you had some physical fights. You had some physicality to those. Can they be fighting all the time and, you know, causing problems? No. But is a little pushing and shoving the worst thing in the world? No, it's not. They want to do some pushing and shoving. I'm okay with that. One of the last overreactions that I'm hearing, and this is actually from a very well-known sports show, not going to say who because they don't deserve the credit for this nonsense. If Tom Brady wins another title or two, could he supplant Michael Jordan as the greatest athlete of all time? This one actually makes my head hurt. Since when does the most titles mean greatest athlete? Because, I mean, if that's the case, then the greatest athlete of all time is Bill Russell. He has 11 titles, right? I mean, Otto Graham won 7 titles. No one talks about Otto Graham. Oh, no. It's modern athletes only. Those guys don't count. It's just modern guys. Okay, well, like, Michael Phelps has 22 gold titles, and he raced a shark. Maybe he's the greatest athlete of all time. Did you ever think of that? Just please stop. Just stop. Stop trying to make somebody comparable to Michael Jordan. They've tried it with Kobe. Didn't work. They tried it with LeBron. Doesn't work. Now they're going to try it with Tom Brady? The next thing they'll be asking, who's a better quarterback, Tom Brady or Michael Jordan? And just stop it already. And at the end of the day, remember, Michael Jordan was a once-in-a-lifetime situation. And never, ever forget that as great as someone like Tom Brady might be, just look at who's on his shoes. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories, and we will be looking forward to some of the biggest games and events coming up this weekend. And of course, you know that you've got to tune in for the weekly Daily Dose Top 5 because you never know which way that is going to go. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions, the suggestions. It is all very appreciated. Thank you for sharing the show. We especially appreciate that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Thursday, everyone.